Hello?
Hello?
Oh, you don't sound like you're in a tunnel.
Hey!
Well, that's good.
Yeah, let's hope this works.
So what happened?
I don't know. I'm still not on my laptop. I am on one of my old laptops.
Oh.
Dance, monkey, dance!
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I've had better weeks. I guess we should say up front that there is a really good possibility there won't be a show next week.
Yep.
Because I am going out of town. I had a death in the family. And I just don't think I'm going to be in the mood after driving 12 hours next week.
Yeah, that's
so
understandable.
So getting it right out there. Don't expect one next week. We'll come back, we promise.
That's right.
Maybe.
Even better. This is our spring hiatus.
For a week.
Tune in the week after. You know, this is like, you know, what all those TV shows do.
So does
they take a week off and make you wait for it.
Does that mean we have to end this on a cliffhanger?
Ooh, we could. We could.
Okay.
Oh. Nice.
So, did you go to MegaCon this past week?
I did.
Yeah?
I did go to MegaCon.
How was that?
I planned really well.
Okay.
So, unlike past years when you and I have gone, and we've gone like every day.
Uh-huh.
Last year was such a zoo, I decided, you know, I'm just going to do Saturday.
Okay.
So, the hall opens at 10 a.m., and I had to pick up my wristband. So I got to the parking lot about 8 a.m.
Okay.
Got a great space for the end of the day. It was like five cars in from the road. Stood in line for maybe 15 minutes until they let us into the bag check area. And then got my wristband. There was like one person in front of me. Got my wristband. It's now almost 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Went to the bathroom, got in line. I was in the first line, maybe three quarters of the way down. About quarter after nine, they made an announcement to the exhibitors that the hall would be opening in 15 minutes. Like, oh, okay, that's early. It was more like 25.
Okay.
But got right in. I don't know if after last year's chaos, they decided to make it bigger. It felt like they did. So that there were tons of tables, there were tons of food places.
Okay.
And none of the aisles were really clogged up for a Saturday.
Oh, okay.
I was really surprised, and I wasn't sure if, like, attendance was down because last year was so bad, or if they just had everything spread out more. But they seemed to do a good job of getting people in and out, and it was in the entire, I don't know if it's the W side of the West Concourse or something, but once you went through the double doors off the big atrium.
Right.
That was the last place you had to show your wristband.
Huh. Wow.
So any of the doors to get into the merchandise floor and stuff, there didn't have people standing there asking you to, you know, show your wristband and stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. One thing they did this year that I really liked in theory, they decided that instead of clogging up, so last year, the big group photo ops were out back in the smoking area, kind of. Because there's a huge set of stairs there. And in other years, they've been kind of in the main atrium because there's big set of stairs there.
Right.
Anyway, they had what they called the cosplay photo park. And it was just this kind of there was like a room, like a black fabric, you know, like a pipe and drape room.
Okay.
That was, I don't know, maybe like 20 by 20. And on all four sides, they had different, like 10 foot long, 8 foot tall backdrops.
Oh, okay.
So there was like a space scene, there was a castle scene, there was a jungle. So that I just. As soon as I get my new laptop and finish editing, I'll post photos. But I got some really good photos this year because they weren't like shot
in a lobby.
In a lobby, or you know, in a hallway, or against the yellow, green, and white pipe and drape that they have everywhere. And,
right.
You know, so I was able to like get people against a background that was more appropriate.
Okay.
The only thing I didn't like is they had all of these scheduled meetups in their schedule, you know, their printed schedule.
Okay.
But nobody was really coordinating it. So the first one that was on my list was there's supposed to be a Gothamverse cosplay meetup at like 12 o'clock. So I got there, you know, about 5 till
mm-hmm.
and waited. Saw no Gothamverse characters anywhere. And then somebody from the 501st came out with a Alien and a Predator.
Okay.
And kind of took over one of the backdrops and was queuing people up for lines for pictures. And it's like, okay, well, this is how it should be done. And then 12:30 was supposed to be another one, and that never happened. It's like, okay, so I'm kind of confused. But what it ended up being for me was like every so often I'd just go hang out over there.
Okay.
And you'd see, you know, different cosplay people getting their pictures taken.
So the people, the 501st with the Alien and the Predator or mm-hmm. whatever, you could just go up and get your picture taken with them?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, there were a couple of photo ops for charity.
Okay.
One of them was kind of funny. They had a Batman and Robin, and they had a sideways skyscraper with a rope running across it. So you could do that scene from the old Batman TV show.
Right.
And depending on how big your group was, some of them could like be in the window. So that was kind of cool. Wow. There was like a Ghostbusters group that were charging like $5 for pictures with the Ecto-1 and a couple other things like that, but nothing too crazy stupid.
Okay.
I didn't do any autographs or photo ops.
No.
I couldn't justify $100 for Pee Wee Herman or Jeff Goldblum.
$100 for an autograph?
For a photo.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's more than like Norman Reedus.
Yeah. So I was kind of good passing on that. But again, from what I saw, it didn't look ridiculously crazy. Drew Struzan, the poster artist,
uh-huh.
who's done, you know, posters for everything, was there signing. But, you know, prints were $150 plus $50 for a signature, and it's like, I really don't need that.
That's the only problem with these big shows. They get big names, but you got to pay big money.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing that kind of sucked about it was they had this app that worked great when I was home on my own router. But once you get into the shithole that is the Orange County Convention Center, home of the $15 Papa John's slice of pizza, it never worked. Anytime I would try to open the app and check, because they had, you could save things to the, from the schedule to your own list and stuff.
Right.
But it didn't work. It would always crash. It was always shutting down. It's like, I wanted to send them a note saying, hey, I hope you can get your money back from the developer on this thing. Overall, it was good.
Yeah?
It's not the same when you're not there.
Oh, thanks.
The only panel thing I went to was the cartoon voices reading Back to the Future.
Okay.
I don't remember which one what did we see? Did we see a Star Wars one, or did we see a...
Was it
Ghostbusters?
It might have been Ghostbusters.
Anyway, Back to the Future?
Uh-huh.
Eh. Not that great.
Who was the voice talent?
Well, that was part of it. So there were only two that I knew.
Okay.
One was Susan Egan, who was the voice of Meg in Hercules.
Okay.
And now she's done a bunch of stuff now. And the other one was Vanessa Marshall, who was one of the voices of Rebels.
Ever since that other company took over MegaCon, their voice talent people that they bring in is always people you've never heard of.
No, well, there was one guy, Fred Tatasciore.
Okay.
Who was amazing. He could do any voice. He was great. But then there's this other kid, Jeremy Shada, who I guess does Adventure Time.
Okay.
He was just horrible. They were like, you know, there was the MC who was giving them voices to do, which you think would be based on what they were able to do.
Right.
But, like, they had this kid doing, like, Morgan Freeman, and he was awful, and they had him doing Doc Brown, which was awful, and, like, really?
I mean, the year that we went, it was, like, the dude that does, like, the Winnie the Pooh. I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
I know exactly who you mean.
It was him. It was, like, Rob Paulsen. It was, who's the black guy from Orlando Jones?
Maurice Lamar? No.
Phil Lamar was there. Maurice LaMarche was there. It was all these, like, grade A voice actors.
Yeah.
Doing it. And it just seems like ever since that other company took over, all those people don't go to MegaCon anymore.
Yeah. Well, they had, like, three Disney people, or Disney voice people. They had Christopher Barnes, who was Prince Eric in Little Mermaid.
Okay.
He was also Greg Brady in the Gary Cole Brady Bunch movies.
Right.
And Jodie Benson, who was Ariel, and then Susan Egan, like I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of them were just voices. I didn't know who the hell they were.
Because you're too old, man.
I know. That's the scary part. They were from, like, Pokemon and Steven Universe and One Punch Man?
Nope.
Yeah, see? Okay, there you go.
No clue.
Yeah. So that was an hour I'll never get back. Yeah, it was all right, but it wasn't great.
Okay.
Merchandise was eh.
Did you buy anything?
I bought a couple of t-shirts.
Wow.
I replaced my well-worn Nightwing shirt. And I got a Star Labs shirt.
Oh, nice.
But that was kind of it. There was nothing else that I needed. Everybody had the same damn things.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of pops.
Of course.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Do you feel like the pops thing is dying?
No.
No?
Because I think they keep finding new properties to exploit. But they're just so many of them now.
Yeah, there's definitely like an overabundance of them. Like, everywhere you go.
Yeah.
They're selling them in Walmart now. They're selling them in the malls. They're selling them, like, every bookstore has them.
Yep.
And
I saw them on the front lawn.
It always just seems like there's never, it's always the same ones, like there's always the ones you're not interested in.
Yeah.
Or it's 15 of old Jedi Luke, and it's like, okay, I don't want that one, and I'm not going to pay $14 for it.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. It just seems like it's starting to dwindle.
Yeah. I mean, Funko is coming out with other stuff now, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if they're looking for the next thing or whatever. But, yeah, most of the booths were all the same old stuff. There were a couple of unique booths that were kind of the steampunky costume stuff.
Right.
Somebody does need to come up with a business where if you're a woman who's going to buy a corset, they need to honestly tell you it looks horrible. Because some of these girls put themselves in these corsets, and then it looks like they've got a couple of flapjacks on their chest. And it's like, no, you need a corset that's going to cup them and lift them and give them shape. Not look like a couple of old bongos.
But you're not supposed to be looking as a man, John.
Well, what are you supposed to be looking at?
Their face, their eyes. Don't worry about what's going on downstairs.
Yeah, you know, there was another... You know, around the photo cosplay photo park, they had the big cosplay is not consent sign. And I'm very torn, because there are some people who should wear more clothes.
Right.
And there are some people who are obviously doing it for the sexuality of it.
Right.
But then they don't want to be objectified.
Right.
But you're dressed as an object.
Right.
So I don't know. I will never have that problem of people objectifying me. I just don't understand it. It's like, so you don't want people to stare, then put your tits away.
Yeah, don't dress like a slutty stormtrooper.
Exactly. Exactly. There was a girl predator.
Of course.
In a fishnet jumpsuit and the mask. And it's like, really? Really?
That's lazy cosplay.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's one step above... suit and stormtrooper helmet.
Ah, well, they had Scarif Troopers this year.
Oh, did they?
Where they were in like Hawaiian shirts and shorts and inflatable inner tubes and the helmet.
Okay.
It's like, well, at least you made an effort.
Or like the is there still the Deadmau5 people walking around?
Yes, there was a Hellraiser Deadmau5. Which was really cool, because instead of the pins, it had neon tubes.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I'm sure they were LED or something, but... yeah. I didn't see that many really amazing costumes.
Okay.
I saw some very clever costumes, but none of them were like, oh my god, that is so perfect. It was kind of like, eh... there was a girl dressed as her version of Lumiere.
Okay.
Which was really, really cute and clever. There was a girl who was, the corpse bride. There was a Black Canary from the DC Bombshells.
Okay.
Which was really cool. But again, there's, and Deadpool. Jesus Christ.
Well, especially when there's a new movie out.
Yeah.
You're going to get a shitload of Deadpools.
And Deadpool is for, like, the... I don't know if it's for, like, the super shy guys who want to be wiseasses. Because they're wearing masks and they can get away with it.
Right.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, I can... You know, like being a lurker on a board somewhere. Or a troll. Like, you're just fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, well, you're only saying that because nobody knows who you are, you know.
The question is, were there any good-looking Deadpools? Like, were there any Deadpools that looked like they could have been in the movie? Or is it all that stretch?
Well, actually, the one I did not get a picture of was Deadpool without his mask.
Oh,
and
like...
he had done a full head prosthetic.
Oh, nice.
It looked really good.
Okay.
But I wasn't fast enough.
Okay, I'll give him that. I mean, that's at least that's going out of your way.
Yes. You know, I can't. There was two kids, and I'm not sure if they were like Kingdom Hearts characters or something. But I mean, little kids.
Okay.
But one had a Mickey helmet. One had a Donald helmet, as if they were made by, you know, medieval craftsmen. They were okay. Kind of cool.
Wow.
But there was a lot of the same old, same old.
Well, next time that we go together, we should do a MegaCon bingo.
MegaCon bingo?
Yep. And put all that stuff on Deadpool, troopers, and shirts or whatever, and see who gets bingo first.
Hmm. There you go. That's a good idea.
All of the convention stereotypes.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, all in all, it was good. I mean, I got there at 8 a.m. and I left about 7.
Okay.
So it was a good long day. But not like in past years when there were like big gangs of people in the hallways and stuff like that.
Okay. Did you?
501st didn't even have as much stuff as they've normally had.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you walk by the signing area?
By the what area?
The signing area.
Signing?
Yeah.
I made a point of going to look at Paul Rubens.
Okay. Did they have him and Jeff Goldblum like out in the open?
I never saw Goldblum, but he was out in the open.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I didn't really look to see where Cary Elwes was.
Okay.
Because they had Cary Elwes, Chris Sarandon, and Wallace Shawn, all from Princess Bride.
I wonder if that constituted them not making a little room for him.
I don't know. Like I said, I really didn't pay attention to it.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was enjoyable. I was kind of surprised.
Well, I mean, if you go for so many years and it's miserable for a couple of those.
Yeah.
You don't really get your hopes up.
No, and I bet if I had showed up at like 9:30, it, you know, would have been a disaster. So, got the early. I knew enough to go in the back way.
Right.
And not park over at the other side of the other convention center complex.
The 2 mile hike to get to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although when I left, as I was driving out, I saw, you know, Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Another cartoon.
Uh-huh.
Whatever, the mad scientist character and the pickle riding in one of those bicycle cabs.
Pickle Rick?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not surprised there's cosplay of that. That's huge.
Is this?
That TV show, yeah.
Okay.
I keep having people say to me, you should watch it, you would like it. And I've tried to, and I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. I'm too old for this.
I don't like the style of it.
It's supposed to be like Back to the Future if Doc and Marty lived together while Marty was growing up.
Oh,
and
okay.
They went on all these weird, like, adventures together. At least that's the way it's been sold to me.
Okay.
But everybody loves it, so.
Okay. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. To each his own.
So you also went to the movies.
I did go to the movies.
You're getting out a lot more often.
I know, right?
What is going on with you?
I don't know.
So, what did you see?
I saw Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Did you? Okay, so I want to hear your opinion on the movie before I tell you mine.
It was enjoyable.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
Okay.
I really didn't give a damn about the story. Like, it was just chase after chase after chase, you know.
Right.
Fight scenes, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And to me, it looks like more and more when they're making these movies, they're thinking of the opportunity of turning it into a theme park ride.
Yes.
Oh, we're going to do the Kessel Run. Oh, we're going to do the Mimban train. Oh, we're going to, you know. I was like, all right. And something I found out, and there was a little throwaway line in there where L3, the robot,
yeah,
makes a comment about how, well, you wouldn't even be able to find Black Spire without me.
Which is the name of the new land of
at Disney.
At Disney,
yes.
Yep.
Which irritates me as much as those goddamn Target commercials that used to be on during, God, what show was it? Blackish? Where it looked like it was a continuation of the scene.
Oh.
It's like, no, I hate that shit. Delete.
You don't think it's clever for Disney and Lucasfilm to be joining together so that it's one shared experience?
I think it's heavy-handed.
Well, absolutely.
I think it would, to me, it would be more enjoyable to discover it on my own. But as we're finding out, people are just damn stupid.
Well, yeah.
So they're not going to figure it out on their own.
No, they need everything handed to them. Big
yeah.
black letters of like, hey, stupid, this is from that movie.
Right.
I enjoyed the movie.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I liked it as much as Rogue One.
No, I don't think I did either. I was disappointed a little bit.
I thought the first hour was a mess.
Yeah.
I was really interested to see, too, how different the character seemed during different times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering whether or not that's because they had essentially different directors.
I was wondering that.
Whether they were... What was part of the quote-unquote reshoot and what wasn't? Because mm-hmm. the handling of Kira in the beginning when they're on Corellia...
Right.
She is she's a good actress, but she's terrible in that first hour.
Right.
As soon as you come back to her...
it's totally different.
It's completely different... And it's a much better performance out of her.
Well, it is 3 years later.
Yeah, but still. To me, it felt like she was directed very well in one sense.
Mm-hmm.
And almost in the other, they were like, well, just kind of do whatever you kind of want to do here.
Yeah.
Like, here's the point you need to hit, but, you know, just go with it.
Right.
But I thought it was a really, really fun movie.
Yes.
I kind of feel the way that I felt after Rogue One was I came out of it thinking, well, that was kind of fun, but, you know, am I going to enjoy this movie on repeat viewings? I can watch Rogue One over and over and over now,
mm-hmm.
and I really enjoy that movie.
I felt that it was kind of a throwaway. It's like, okay, well, we decided to tell this story, and here it is, and this is all we got. Stay tuned.
Yeah, and it felt... So, I'm going to spoil part of this movie, just because that's what we do.
No!
So, there's a big reveal at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out that Kira, who has... You thought was working for whatever the dude's name is, Vision.
Right.
She's actually working for Darth Maul.
Well, he was working for Darth Maul.
Okay.
And I think she...
After she kills the dude.
Knew who he was and then kills the dude and basically, you know, says, oh, you know, by the way, this is all I've done, and you've heard good things about me, and, you know, let's make this something.
Right. So, it feels like... I don't want to say Iron Man, because that would be wrong, but it feels like this is the Star Wars attempt at creating a much bigger shared universe of of things that are going to connect in a way where they're going to plant the seeds of things in this movie so that when they get to an Obi-Wan movie or a Boba Fett movie or they do one just about the crime syndicates, they're going to bring Kira back and you're going to be like, oh, that was a chick from Solo.
Right.
And kind of piece this shit together. Because that they did that with... what's her name? Enfys Nest?
Yes.
Where all of a sudden you find out it's a young girl, but like this is the seeds of the rebellion.
Right.
And she's going to be the one to drive that, even though like that was kind of laid out in episode 3 in the deleted scenes. But, you know, whatever.
Well, I was also waiting to find out that she was the daughter of Val and Beckett.
Yeah, I could see
that. You know, she was a light-skinned black girl with lots of freckles, and it's like, oh, okay. So I it was definitely a surprise when their whole band was revealed as being, you know, the good guys.
Right.
Because you were expecting them to be, you know, these warriors.
Right.
I liked that Warwick got a line.
Right.
And you saw his face.
And he's actually playing the same character that he played in episode 1.
Yes.
So they're tying all that stuff together. They're bringing Darth Maul in. There was also people in her gang that show up in Rogue One.
Right.
As part of Saw Gerrera's people.
Right. Two-tubes or whatever they call them.
Yeah. So you definitely have this Disney thing of, well, this works for Marvel, so let's do this for Star Wars.
I was just going to say, this is the Star Wars version of the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
We're going to have these crossover and these little winks and nods and these in-jokes.
But it's interesting because you get that, and they're going to include the prequels in that, but maybe not the main saga because of where all this stuff is happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like before A New Hope, anything that happens before A New Hope is almost like a shared thing.
Sure.
Almost like after that, you're kind of going into sacred ground. But, you know, everybody was bitching this past week of that it only made $158 million or something.
Oh, that's too bad, isn't
it? And it was like, yeah, but when you look at everything that's come out in the past couple of years... I really enjoyed The Force Awakens, really enjoyed Rogue One. I hated Last Jedi, and I enjoyed this. And if you're going to go by box office, what you really should be looking at is people's reactions. And it seems like once you get past the first hour, everybody enjoys the film.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what the original script was? Who knows what they had to come in with and fix?
Right.
There's definitely things that were left out, even from the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
There are lines where some of the trailers that were built on aren't even in there. You're like, okay, that's weird. You know, these people retool their movies right up until the very end.
Oh, sure.
So... you know, just be happy you're getting Star Wars films. And Disney this past week was very gracious and was like, you know, maybe it's our fault. Maybe it's oversaturation of the Disney brands. Because you literally had Black Panther,
Infinity
War, Solo, all within... And, like, Last Jedi was...
Last Jedi, within 6 months.
Was all within 6 months of each other.
Yep.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people are burned out. Maybe they should do these every 2 years instead of every year. Who knows?
Right.
I mean, I just think that people aren't giving this enough credit for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the dude that played Han Solo was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was more the thing that I saw that I kind of liked was it was more like Chris Pine playing Shatner. or yeah. Kirk. You know, it wasn't him doing his best Shatner impersonation. He right. was taking it for what it was and making it his own. And that's mm-hmm. exactly what this kid did for Han Solo. I thought Donald Glover did a spot on Lando.
Yeah.
Like, there were things that he said that I was like, that sounds like Billy Dee Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think everybody did well. I don't think there's anybody who kind of like pulled the movie down.
Right.
It was interesting that they got rid of characters as quickly as they did.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me.
And I kept saying, the dude, that Rio dude sounds really familiar. Who the hell is doing yeah. his voice? It was Jon Favreau.
Yep.
And it wasn't him doing a character. It was just Jon Favreau's voice.
Yes.
And it fit the character. It fit what they were doing. My mm-hmm. only complaint, I will say, about the film is that, and it might have just been the theater I was in, but it seemed very dark.
No, I've heard that from a lot of people.
Okay. When they were on the Falcon.
Yep.
Anytime that they were in the passenger area where the chess table was, it seemed like they were always backlit by something. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't see their faces. And I was like, this is really bizarre. It's a really bizarre way to light a film. And when they were in the cockpit of the Falcon, it seemed like it was too dark.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Okay, maybe it's this projector. Maybe it's this theater. Because
no, I've heard that from several people.
Okay, because I had the same problem with Black Panther of like the night scenes, you couldn't see what was going on. And this very much felt the same way of like we're in this dark, we're in this Kessel Run where it's all dark and you can't really see what's going on. It just felt weird. I don't know. And that really is my only complaint.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, other than that, I really enjoyed it. Way more than I enjoyed The Last Jedi.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a fun movie. I thought there were enough little nods and character mentions and stuff to keep it interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Anthony Daniels had his cameo as a Wookiee.
No, he was one of the human slaves.
Oh, I thought he was one of the Wookiees.
No, I heard he was one of the slaves.
Okay. Can't make a movie without him, you know.
Well, about him and Warwick now.
Well, at least Warwick, you know, got a feel for the guy.
You do?
Sure.
Why?
I don't know.
So he always gets the short end of the deal?
That's right.
Ah.
But I mean, it's not bad to be in every single Star Wars film.
God, no. No. I have noticed how, though, these movies are becoming more and more of a formula. It's like, you've got to have the freaky alien sequence.
Oh, yeah.
Of, you know, it's a party, it's a cantina, it's a casino.
Yeah.
Whatever. We got to throw some wacky things in there.
Because that's part of Star Wars.
And it's apparently. Like,
not really.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, while there were big set pieces in all the other films, like, you don't get that in Empire.
No, you don't.
You don't?
Well, no, you don't get it again in, yeah, you do. No.
What, in Empire?
No, you don't get it until Return.
Right. With Jabba's Palace.
Right.
And they do it a couple of times in the prequels.
Yes.
But,
well, the Senate.
Well, just not that, but like they go to that bar in part two where they're chasing what's her name?
Oh, where Anthony Daniels has another cameo.
Has her cameo. Yeah.
Yes.
Has his cameo. Yes. Yeah, so there's definitely those things in there. And I'm sure these filmmakers can't come up with their own ideas of like, well, you know, let's just make this, you know, our idea of Star Wars, because then you get The Last Jedi and they still do the same shit anyway.
Sure.
I did see something funny on Reddit where they were like, they listed out all the new movies, and it was like Force Awakens, Too Familiar, Last Jedi, Too New, Solo, Playing It Safe. And then on the bottom it says, what the fuck do you people want?
Yeah, right?
And it's like, that's true. Like, everybody's going to bitch.
Right.
My complaints with The Last Jedi are solely because I don't think it was a good Star Wars film.
Mm-hmm.
There's just too many weird things that happen in that movie where it's like, nah, this isn't really Star Wars.
Right.
But I did like... I'm glad that we didn't get origin stories for everything.
Right.
You kind of got it with the blaster, I guess. Which...
Yeah.
I felt was a little weird. Like, this dude just giving him his blaster and being like... He, like, kisses it and then throws it to him. I was like, eh, okay. But fortunately, it wasn't like, hey, now we're going to give you the first time... And he does wear a vest in the film, but...
Right.
Like, it's not like Kira putting it on him and being like, oh, this is you.
Right. That's a good look on you or something.
Yeah, something stupid like that.
Right. Now, I did love the scene when the fire breaks out on the Falcon... And Kira grabs one of the capes and starts stomping it, and Lando's like, no, it's a custom.
Yeah. And that whole thing, like they're flying through and shit's blowing up, and you can see how it's turning more into Han's Millennium Falcon?
Yes. Which is why I was kind of surprised that Lando flew off with it at the end.
Well, because he hasn't won it yet.
Yeah, I guess.
I did it, like, so having read some of the comic books and some of the old extended universe stuff, the fact that they did change some of the origin stuff of, like, how he won the Falcon.
Right.
And all that stuff seemed a little strange because you have it all in front of you. Like,
yeah.
You have these years worth of books and comic books and stuff that have dealt with all this.
Right.
And they're going to go and they're going to change it for whatever they're going to do. Which, some of it's fine, but I mean, at least keep the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the comic books, I think it's... Han is an officer when he meets Chewie, but he doesn't meet him on a mud planet.
Right.
As a deserter. He gets thrown out because he helps Chewie.
Right, because he sees the Wookiees being mistreated.
Yeah. Which I think is a better story than
throwing him in the pit.
Throwing him in a pit, and like Chewie has been killing these idiots that they've been throwing down there and eating them, I guess. And then it takes this one dude that kind of knows how to speak Wookiee to.
But does he speak Wookiee at all in the last three movies?
No.
So I couldn't figure out if. We were supposed to assume that anytime Han was talking to Chewie, he was speaking in the Wookiee language, but we were hearing it as English.
No, I think he was speaking English.
Okay.
And somebody said, well, shouldn't he be kind of growling here?
Right.
And they went, yeah, sure, why not? We can do that. Yeah, so there was a couple of things like that. The origin of the name Solo, I thought, was a little weird.
Yeah, so when his father was a shipbuilder, he didn't have a last name?
Yeah.
Or did he give up the last name when he went in to work with Lady Proxima?
You know,
he just became a, you know, kind of like a nameless street urchin kind of thing.
You know, is Han his real name?
Right. It's not Han.
Yeah,
Han.
I did like that. I was like, hey, Han. He's like, Han.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. It could have been a lot worse.
Oh, sure.
You know, all that stuff that people were saying of like, oh, well, don't waste your time going to see this movie. This movie's a waste. And it's like, no, you just got to look at it for what it is. If you want just a movie where you're having a good time and you know the characters and they're kind of giving you some backstory, that's fine.
Yep.
Now, were you put off by L3?
I felt that that was another part of the formula, the sassy robot.
But she's a part of the Falcon now.
Well, and that's been mentioned that you that she's in. Is it in? Is it New Hope or Empire? When 3PO, it's an Empire. When 3PO,
yeah, he complains that
he complains that I don't know where your ship learned to communicate, but it's most peculiar dialect.
Yep. That's why Han is talking to the ship in A New Hope, where he's like, "Hear me, baby, hold together."
Yeah.
Because
and what was his what was her relationship with Lando?
Apparently, she thought that Lando was in love with her.
Right. But obviously he had some really deep connection with her.
Yeah.
That, you know, all he really needed to do was, like, you know, rip the head off.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people that felt that she was the social justice warrior character of this. And, like, people are taking it to extremes, and I'm like, it's a movie, man.
Right.
She was a robot who was looking out for the other droids. You know, take it for what it is. I did find it funny when they accidentally caused the revolt.
Yes.
You know, it was like, okay, I can kind of see this now. I don't know. Overall, I thought it was pretty good. It has its flaws, but, like, what movie doesn't?
Sure. Overall, I think it was just a fun movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was it. There was one weird thing when I saw it. Went to the standard digital print. I didn't do the 3D. I didn't do the Dolby or anything.
Okay.
And there's a point when they were back on the planet with Empress Nest.
Uh-huh.
And Beckett is kind of in the shadows, and he says, "Hey, that was the only piece of sourced audio in the theater I was in, and it came from behind me." And I thought, "Oh Jesus, there's some nut job. He's going to be talking to the screen now." And then he appeared out of. It's like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, that's weird that they would do it like that.
It was very bizarre. I don't. Maybe I didn't catch any other surround sound, but that just seemed out of place. I was like, "Oh crap!" I was already saying, "Ah, this is why I don't go to the movies." That and the $15 for popcorn and a soda.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Did you go to the?
Yes.
Disney Springs one.
Yeah.
They have. To anybody who's been in Orlando and has gone to this theater, it is the most fucked up concession area that you've ever been to. You can't walk up to just a counter and order a hot dog. You have to go to the cashier, tell her what you want, and then they put your order in, and then you have to backtrack through the line to kind of get back to your food.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, this has the self-serve popcorn, which you have to then take over to the counter and pay for them, and then they will give you the cup
right.
for your drink.
Right, and if you want anything hot, then
you've got to wait.
You've got to make your way back through the crowd.
Yes.
To get over to the counter. And if you stand at the counter and you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, they won't tell you.
No.
They
no.
will just stare at you and like, what's your order number? What? Well, where do I place my order? And they just kind of stare at you and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to follow the rest of the crowd and hope that I can find my way.
There was a British family trying to figure out the butter pump. And there was this other guy who was explaining that they had a stack of empty, I guess these would be like the boxes, like if you got like a couple of hot dogs and a nachos or whatever, they'd put it on the box for you to carry it back.
Right.
But how you take one of those boxes and with your large popcorn, you just put some on the bottom and then you put the butter on it. And then you put some more on it, and then you put more butter on it, and then you put more popcorn on it, and then you put more butter on it. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, asshole, hurry up.
Did you say something?
I did not.
Oh, you should have.
No.
Why?
Because I was trying to be kinder and gentler.
Oh. Should have been like, dude, my movie's starting. Move it.
Yeah. Not the case.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Life goes on.
I mean, if you're going to pay $15 for popcorn,
right,
you should be able to get it in a timely fashion.
And I shouldn't have to wait for some asshole who's trying to, like, drain the butter pump.
Drain the lizard?
Drain the lizard, yes.
You should walk up and be like, here, let me put some of my butter on there for you.
No.
All right, fine. No.
Now, there was some other big news that happened last day or two.
Like what?
Like, both Andrew Lincoln and Lauren Conrad are leaving Walking Dead the rest of the season.
Wait, what?
You didn't hear that?
I heard... Well, I definitely didn't hear about Andrew Lincoln.
Yep.
But What's-Her-Name already has another show.
Right. And she's only got 6 episodes left?
Yeah, so people were like...
That's what I heard.
All right, something's going on with her.
Yeah.
But what's the Andrew Lincoln thing?
So as of... Did it happen today? It's... says that series star Andrew Lincoln, who has played Rick from the very first episode of season 1, will be leaving the show sometime in season 9. And they said Nerdist reached out to AMC for comment, but have not heard back at the time of publication.
Weird.
And that they are offering Norman Reedus a bunch of money to not quit. And he'll become the new star.
I can see that. That's so weird. Why would he do that?
Don't know. I mean, it may not be true, but I mean, it is Nerdist, which is not a, you know,
right,
National Enquirer type magazine.
I mean,
or are they just getting to that point where they have to start shedding characters? Like, there's just too much that we have to try to get accomplished.
Yeah, but Rick is the main dude.
But what does Rick have to live for anymore?
His daughter?
Well, it's not really his daughter.
Michonne?
Eh. He can do better.
Wow. No, I did not hear about this.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
I pretty much knew that Lauren Cohen was going just because ABC put out those trailers for her new show.
Right.
And it was like, okay, how can she be the lead of that and be on Walking Dead?
Right.
Well,
she can't.
No, she can't. And that was just like when they announced that the chick who played Sasha was going to Star Trek.
Yes.
And it was like, okay, then obviously she's going to be killed off at some point.
And that was a good move for her.
Yeah, well. I have only seen the first episode, so I don't know. I heard it got better, but
I never even watched the first one.
Well, I don't know. It really surprises me because Andrew Lincoln for a long time was like, I'm going to play this character until they don't want me to play it anymore.
Well, maybe the time has come.
And maybe he was like, you know, I'm just tired of this.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's really weird.
Yes. And then the other story was that ABC canceled Roseanne.
Yes.
After renewing it for 2 seasons, right?
Well, that's what happens when you compare a political person to
a monkey. A
cross between the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
You don't get to keep your show.
I'm surprised that they did it. I really am.
I think in the new Hollywood, they're not fucking around with anything.
Yeah.
Anything that's going to draw heat, they're going to stomp out pretty quick.
Yeah, I suppose.
And I think, you know, she's done it before.
Right.
She has compared other black women to monkeys. And I think ABC was willing to see how much money that she could make them.
Yes.
And it was successful to a point, but I think it got to where ABC was like, with all the shit that's going on in Hollywood, we can't tolerate
sure
somebody in her position saying this shit about people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they pulled that plug pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because it was one headline was like, Roseanne makes these really horrible statements and then leaves Twitter. And then I read the article and it was like, people are calling for ABC to pull her show. And mm-hmm. like, I refreshed the page and the top one was ABC cancels Roseanne. I was like, holy shit.
Right.
What the fuck just happened? That was so fast. Yeah. They're not fucking around anymore.
Yeah.
But what will they fill that with? Who cares? I mean, I didn't realize just how many things got canceled this year.
Yeah, quite a few.
So this is all in alphabetical order, but Broad City, which was kind of a big hit for Comedy Central. But I guess like they were saying that they were going to go out anyway.
Right.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine was canceled and then renewed by ABC.
By different. Yes. Which is weird.
Yeah. Domination. Or Damnation, whatever that was, on Sci-Fi. Dark Matter on Sci-Fi. Designated Survivor. Deception. Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency on BBC America.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're all broken up about that. The Exorcist. The Expanse, but then was picked up by Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice because Sci-Fi doesn't know how to do sci-fi anymore, so let somebody else do it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's always weird because they have Game of Thrones on this list, but it's like, no, they were going to go out anyway.
Right.
It's not like HBO said, oh, your guys' numbers aren't up. We're canceling you. Gotham was renewed for one final season. There was a bunch of stuff on Netflix that got canceled, which is always weird.
Yeah.
Halt and Catch Fire was canceled. Something on Netflix called Haters Back Off. I'm sure you're a huge fan of that.
Yes.
Something on Amazon called I Love Dick. I don't make them up. I just read them.
It's the Richard Nixon story.
The Amazon show Jean-Claude Van Johnson was canceled after season two. Kevin probably saves the world.
Yes. That was interesting, but it was just a rehash of Joan of Arcadia.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. But it was very interesting.
You know what's not on here as either way? What happened to that what's his name? Fat dude.
Okay, you got it. Louis?
No. In the show, they wrote off the actress so that Leah Remini could come back.
Kevin can wait.
Yes.
Yes.
That's not on this list at all.
As being renewed
either renewed or canceled.
Oh. Maybe the jury's still out.
They should just fucking just get rid of it. It would be poetic. Last Man on Earth, Last Ship, The Last Tycoon, lots of lasts. Been canceled. The Leftovers, The Librarians, Life Sentence, Lucifer.
Yeah.
And they renewed MacGyver.
I don't understand.
I think
that.
I've only ever seen one of those, and I wasn't impressed.
Yep.
The Middle ended their run.
Yep.
The Mick, The Mayor. Those are
the
shows.
The Mayor was
really
horrible. Yeah, The Mayor was horrible.
The Mindy Project has probably horrible. Finally done. Because that wasn't that on
think,
somewhere.
You don't think we're gonna see it on Sprint TV or something?
Oh, maybe. Mindy Kaling's just keeping that alive for some reason.
Yeah.
Nashville has been canceled. New Girl. The Night Shift. Odd Mom Out. Okay. Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah, that was watched in this house a lot. I never really saw it, though.
I did like the finale. I liked the way they sent them off. But you could also tell that they were scrambling to give them something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Pretty Little Liars was canceled. No.
Oh.
Quantico. Was canceled. Let's see. Roseanne renewed, then canceled.
Yes.
Scandal canceled. Lots of Netflix stuff.
Well, I think Netflix is trying to figure out what they are now.
Well, they said that they were going to go mainly to science fiction and fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
More Stranger Things, less House of Cards. Teen Wolf was canceled. How were you ever going to survive?
I'll find a way.
Aren't we? Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt? Canceled.
Yeah. Never watched it.
Yeah. White Famous was canceled, whatever that is. Off of Showtime.
Okay.
Young and Hungry, You're the Worst. Yeah, these are things I've never even heard of. Zoo? There's a show called Zoo? On CBS?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
It was like one of those summer shows.
Oh. A Wave of Violent Animal Attacks Against Humans. Bum, bum,
yes.
Bum.
Was it a Michael Crichton?
James Patterson?
James Patterson, okay.
Yes. Starring three people I've never heard of. James Wolk, Kristen Connolly, and Billy Burke.
James Wolk was on that Robin Williams sitcom with Sarah Jessica Parker. Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Okay. I believe.
So at least one of them is working. Well, one of them is dead.
Man, well, I'm sure they'll fill all these voids with top-notch television.
Yes.
That'll get canceled pretty much right off the bat. Krypton got renewed.
I'm kind of happy about that.
Did it get any, like, I've only seen a couple. Did it get good?
It got better. It's yeah, it's using time travel in a very odd way.
Okay.
At first, Adam Strange was sent to the past, and now Zod, who may be the son of Sig-El, who is Jor-El's father?
Okay.
It's confusing.
Okay.
But in the last episode, Brainiac has arrived, and he's kind of bottled up the city of Kandor, and enemies are becoming allies, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay. So one final thing to talk about. Did you watch the Flash finale?
Yes.
So we I think it was last week we talked about the fact that they don't have the visual effects budget that they used to have.
Uh-huh.
And this finale proved it. The running down the street full of thinkers.
Yes.
Was
the, you
so
mean
bad.
The homage to the Matrix?
Yes. Complete with rubber-faced people.
Yes.
It was so bad. I was like, this is how we end. And my favorite part was, so this dude has been 10 steps ahead of the Flash the entire time, can outthink him doing anything that he can come up with.
Uh-huh.
Gets beat because he can run really fast through his mind.
Where he finds Digby?
Right.
Yeah.
And then downloads himself into the chair?
Uh-huh.
Where to stop him, all they have to do is rip the electronics out of the back. And that's how you get rid of the major bad guy for the season.
Yeah, it was kind of like, oh, for Christ's sake, pull the plug.
I couldn't stop being like, you guys really need to shorten these arcs. It was just so bad. I didn't understand, like, how they spent the entire season, like, building this dude up with all his powers and all these metahuman things that he can do to just turn around and he downloads himself into a chair and they rip the electronics out. You're done. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. And then to just let his wife go? And I was like, but wait, no, she had a hand in, like, mass murder.
Yes.
Why are you guys just letting her go? And it's
Now she's a good person. She's a good guy. You know, what are we going to do with her? We have nothing to do for her.
Oh, it's painful sometimes.
Yeah, I would say so.
I hope that they can figure out next season and do something really good. Although that ending did not give me high hopes. Where they meet his daughter from the future.
Right.
And it's like, where did you get that jacket? Oh, she gave it to me. Like, let's play the pronoun game so that, like, just tell us who you are. Well, I'm your daughter. You gave it to me. But I'm from the future.
Yeah, see, and once again, it's like, stop with the goddamn time travel.
Yeah, and it's really unclear of, like, So you see the Flash running at this falling satellite.
And then there's another.
And as he touches it,
Flash?
Everything reverses till he gets to a point, and then it goes forward again. And when he gets to that same point, his kid's arm comes up too, and they stop it together.
Yes.
Now, is that the thing that she really fucked up? Was the Flash supposed to die? Who knows?
Yeah.
But it was just so bad. I'm glad there's a hiatus.
Yeah, I thought the way they got rid of Harrison was kind of lame.
I'm not smart anymore. I'm just like everybody else, so I'm going to leave.
I'm going to go find my daughter.
Yeah.
And let her know I'm not smart anymore.
Because I've got nothing else to do. Which means they'll run into a problem in like the first episode, and they'll need to go find a Harry Wells, and they'll pluck one off of another Earth, and then they'll have to learn how to deal with him. It's getting exhausting. I don't know. It's a weird time, television.
Yes, it is. Very bizarre.
If you would have told me at this time last year that I'd be looking forward more towards Gotham coming back than The Flash, I would have been like, you're out of your goddamn mind. But here we are. Who knows? We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You got anything else for this week?
No.
No?
No.
All right. So, again, probably no show next week. We will be back the following week. But in the meantime, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and let us know you're listening. So, until 2 weeks from now, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
And for our cliffhanger, how did the blonde die ice fishing?
How?